Orator for BlackBerry. 6 of 7 icons.
Welcome to Zero Talk Tech Chat, number 24. This is Michael Off. And this is a little different event. We're doing a little round table discussion here.
Literally,
a round table with Mike Cavill, of course, hey, CEO from Zero Tech Corporation. And then we have Dave Wilkinson from Humanware.
Hello.
And then we have Greg Field with
Research in motion.
I was doing the RIM, Research in Motion.
There we go.
Yeah,
hey, everybody.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for joining us today. We're going to talk, we're going to go into a little bit of the, of course, you have the announcements of accessibility now to at least certain models of the BlackBerry devices. And then we're going to talk about how that equates to, of course, the recent announcements of accessibility with the iPhone and the touchscreen market, and kind of find out what markets we're all looking at and kind of where we want to go with this technology and what we're hoping to accomplish. And maybe people who have looked at touchscreens in one form or another in the past, a lot of musicians, you know, things like Roland keyboards, to just getting up to speed and saying, why should I take a look at this again? I've spent a large amount of money, and why should touch screens be any different? But let's start with you, Mike Cavill. You just recently acquired the iPhone.
I did, and you know, one of the big things that I want to get to the point of discussing here, you know, this is kind of an informal, this is not staged, we don't have a big list of questions.
As you can tell by all the background noise.
Yeah, that's right. We're at ACB, by the way, Convention 2009 in Orlando, Florida.
This was quiet about 3 minutes ago.
July 8th when we chose this area.
We're trying to find a quiet place to sit down and talk. But the reality is, I mean, you know, one of the questions I want to pose, of course, to Greg is that, you know, the fact is that I've had an N82, which is the Symbian operating system. I've been dealing with the Symbian operating system since the, you know, the early 21st century, a very minimum. But I think it's even been a little bit before that, of course. Then after that, we had accessibility in the Windows Mobile space. And of late, we've had the iPhone. And why the BlackBerry? I mean, I've talked to attorneys and stuff that are friends that say, hey, man, I really need a BlackBerry professionally. But is it just the professional market? I look at the phone that we've been looking at here at the conference, and I say, wow, you know, it's a combination of touchscreen and a combination of what I'm used to in other operating systems, and is it really that effective? And I really want our audience to understand the fact that, you know, I think that as blind folks, we're kind of dogmatic sometimes about, well, this is my technology, and this is what I want to use, and if it doesn't do everything and wash the kitchen floor and polish the windows, then I can't buy it. And I think that's because we've been used to paying, you know, $3,600 at a clip for a device, or a couple $1,000 at a clip, and now we're finally being given a great deal of choices. So to throw the baby out with the bathwater by saying, well, it sucks and I don't want it because it's a piece of junk and it doesn't work for me or whatever. You know, there are many devices that I've looked at in the consumer electronics space, of which Serotalk podcast listeners are familiar, and I may or may not like them. I generally come on here about things that I'm really excited about and I like, but for every one product that I like, I see, you know, a bunch of products that I think are a bunch of crap, and I don't like them.
Very good.
And so that's really one of the things that I want to deal with as a consumer, is saying this is about consumer choice and what how RIM really addresses that. And I think that Dave is great here because as a longstanding employee over at
Humanware and
just all of the. All of the things that Humanware has been doing of late to kind of, and I don't want to use the word reinvent so much because that makes it sound like Humanware is in some kind of trouble.
Definitely not.
No, they're not.
I think
it's a matter of just kind of really adapting to the environment that is really happening. And I applaud Humanware for their forward looking attitude, and at the same time, shame on you other AT companies that don't see the writing on the wall and don't understand that blind consumers are finally getting their feet under them and saying, you know what, we have our own choices. We're not going to listen to government agencies telling us what we're going to buy. We're going to out there, we're going to make consumer choices. We're going to decide what we want to buy, and we're going to deal with the these manufacturers directly. And I applaud what you guys are doing with bringing products that are both innovative, cost effective. You're out here talking to consumers and demonstrating. I mean, I was talking to you guys before the podcast. 350 demonstrations of the Orator software that we're here to talk about at the NFB alone. That's amazing.
And I don't know how many there have been here at ACB, but it's been a lot. It has been it has been one of the buzz items, I think it'd be fair to say.
Yeah,
here.
I would say so.
You know, people have been flocking over to see it.
Dave, let me ask you, from the HumanWare perspective, you jumped into this market. What are you hoping to accomplish? I mean, what are you looking at in terms of numbers or specific industries? What was your motivation to say, hey, let's get into this market, let's make sure...
I mean, you guys are already in mobile speak. You've got mobile speak happening. Is it just another platform? Is there a particular plan of action here?
Well, and I guess in the interest of fairness, I'm not high up in the organizational chain where, they're saying, okay, this is our super secret strategy.
The corporate disclaimer.
No, it's not at all. But I think realistically, there's obviously by the fact that we've had such a demand for it. But for a demand for the showing of the product, there's a huge interest in BlackBerry. You run around anywhere you go, you've got our sighted compatriots are using BlackBerries, and if they're using it, we want one.
Sure.
And so it's an obvious entry for HumanWare in that perspective.
But why don't the other companies get that, dude? Why
I don't know.
Why don't they? We did at Cerotech, and understand, folks, when I'm here, I'm not wearing my Cerotech hat. You know, I'm not here to promote Cerotech.
Actually, right now he's wearing no hat.
Yeah, right.
And he's hatless.
And if you guys could see...
Almost hairless.
You'd see the light shining off my head. The reality is that here I'm not wearing my Cerotech hat. I'm just wearing the hat of a blind consumer like everybody else. And the reality is that, I mean, when we did, though, a research, a survey at Cerotech about blind folks and what they wanted, what we realized were blind people were people, just like everybody else. We wanted the same stuff. And if it was accessible and it was nifty cool and everybody was using it, well, hey, dude, we wanted it. We wanted to play with it. So,
well, again, I think that feeds into part of what HumanWare has made no secret about the fact that we're trying to produce items at a low cost that are a good value to consumers. I mean, you look at the price point when the Stream was introduced, was a low price point. You look at the price point for the Breeze; it's the lowest lowest cost GPS system that's out there. Part of what HumanWare wants, you look at our low vision side. We've got a number of products that have low price points. You know, we are trying to have prices on items that consumers can afford. You know,
Are you looking to market this to consumers, Dave, or are you looking more at government entities, U.S., Barack Obama, BlackBerry everywhere?
I think the short answer is yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're interested. Certainly government entities have an interest in this. It's the only, and Greg can fill in all the acronyms.
Yeah, let Greg answer that. I'm going to let Greg talk about it and talk about research in motion and kind of when you decided to get involved in this and realize that
obviously consumers are interested. This is an operating system that we as blind people know very little about because we haven't had access to it. You look at the response of folks in the booth, they're like, oh, you just slide your finger over this little touch cursor thing, and they're off and running with it. They like the idea of the tactile keyboard on it. There's an obvious consumer interest in this product that goes well beyond government entities.
Well, and you have kind of a hybrid because, you have the iPhone that's completely flat and touchscreen, and here you have the keypad with the raised elements so that you can find those buttons. So that looks interesting in and of itself, and maybe the hybrid for folks who don't want a complete touchscreen want the best of both worlds.
But well, part of it's going to depend on what your interest is.
Find out what your perspective and where you're coming into this from.
Sure. So in advance, I'm a fan of the Cerotech podcast series.
Thank you.
I was having dinner with Torsten, and he was letting me know he's going to be on a podcast, so I listened to that one, and I continue to stay abreast and find out what you guys are looking at, because you do find things in the marketplace and get people on your shows that you otherwise don't hear about. So I'm a fan of the show, and thanks for having us on.
Well, that by the way, just to mention, and that's something that is so cool to see, is that kind of, you're friends with Torsten, who of course is the author of Talks, and have been a good friend of mine for years and years. And to know that you guys are friends and having dinner, and you know what I'm saying? That's a great thing. That's something that unfortunately we don't see in the AT industry anymore.
I would say the opposite.
Yes,
I mean,
Well, it's important for industry leaders to be communicating and finding out where they are and their interests and what their ultimate goals are.
I think that it's obvious to a lot of people in the industry who is absent from many of these things, but it's great to see that attitude, I mean, that we can sit down with, you know, competitive companies in many respects and do this whole co-opetition type of thing where, you know, of course, we all play to win, as I said before, but at the end of the day, you know, we've got people who share information and are like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing, and, you know, yeah, well, this is what we're doing, and it's just great because we all are about the same thing, which is giving blind consumers access to technology, and I applaud you just on a personal level just for doing that, dude. I mean, I'm sure you don't even think about it, but it's something that I really miss because when I used to be an adaptive technology trainer and programmer and that kind of thing, there was a lot of, you know, communication between the AT companies, and that has just gone by the wayside, which really sucks for the community. I mean,
well, I'd say that, I mean, in the last, I'll just say last 4 or 5 years then, there's a lot of cooperation between companies. Even though there is some competition between companies,
sure.
The reality is this is a small enough space. There's room for everybody. Mike had mentioned, you know, consumer choice. And with that in the access space, I mean, I work with friends and / competitors at Nokia and Motorola and Samsung and Sony. I mean, these are all individuals who are like-minded. And while we compete for dollars for consumers, at our level, we don't. We're trying to provide access. And to the degree that it makes sense to do it the same way, as an industry and work together, you know, then I don't see much of that conflict at all. In fact, I enjoy spending time with lots of people.
It's a lower cost to get into it. You know, if you're all using the same basic, you know, the same basic approach, then you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel.
Well, let me go back to something that Michael had mentioned before. So, RIM has been in, so we're about 10 years old now. A company is 20 plus, but BlackBerry had its 10th anniversary a couple weeks ago. And one of the early adopters of this device, at that point, this was a two-way pager that did text communication, didn't have a phone. So one of the early adopters were individuals in corporations, you know, on Wall Street and Bay Street, where you want to stay in touch with individuals, but also the deaf and hard of hearing community, for whom which, you know, voice communication wasn't an access option at that time. But if you wanted to stay in touch, you know, take your BlackBerry. So between BlackBerry and Sidekick, the adoption rate within the deaf and hard of hearing community has been substantial. So we've been focused on access from the perspective of deaf and hard of hearing for a very long time. And about 3 years ago, we started looking at low vision, started looking at partially sighted, cognitive, and just building out our focus from just deaf and hard of hearing to other disability groups from a functional impairment perspective. And some of the challenges that we had to overcome were, you know, we operate a Java Micro Edition based platform almost exclusively. And there, I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen, there doesn't exist a TTS engine for Java-based mobile devices, nor does Java for mobile have any kind of accessibility from an interface perspective provided by Sun. And this is not a knock about Sun. I mean, Peter Korn does great, great work, and that group does lots of work.
But there's no toolkit for that.
There was nothing.
No accessibility API for the mobile platform or anything else.
At all. So we were talking with HumanWare 5 years ago. And at the time, you know, HumanWare, Nuance at the time, or ScanSoft at the time, and others, what could they do on a BlackBerry? If you were to talk with them and say, you know, we're interested in access, what could they do? There wasn't a whole lot. So it wasn't until about 3 years ago where we realized, you know, we can't wait for some magic to happen. Let's see what we could do ourselves. So between RIM, HumanWare, and Code Factory, we created this collaboration whereby RIM created the BlackBerry Accessibility API, which is the first API for mobile devices focused on access. We then worked with a TTS vendor to implement text-to-speech and a Java network interface from the OS, which is not accessible to third-party applications, to the Java layer to provide the platform for Code Factory and HumanWare to develop their application. And between Code Factory, HumanWare, and RIM, we went back and forth. Here's an API. It doesn't exist for mobile. It does exist for desktop. Let's first base it on desktop and see what does work, what doesn't work. We went back and forth for probably about 6 months, engaged the NFB for some specification, design, support, and understand, you know, this is what it would be like. To what degree do you think this meets the needs? And then we're off and running. So we've been focused on access for a long time, but we haven't been able to focus on the blind community until the last couple of years. And what we're seeing here demonstrated is a labor of love for the last couple of years between three companies who really do care about trying to get something out there.
Well, that brings me to a point that I've made, I think, on a couple of different podcasts and just talking in general, where I believe that ultimately this industry, the AT industry as we know it, is either going to change or disappear altogether. I think that we have a lot of companies, including HumanWare, GW Micro, Freedom Scientific, previously HJ, or Henry Joyce, Henry Joyce and those folks to thank for working with mainstream market leaders like Microsoft and Sun and Adobe and others for developing accessibility standards that now the sighted folks, the mainstream people, they get it, man. And now if you can give these guys a clear and defined roadmap to accessibility, they can integrate it as a part of universal design in their products and really eliminate the high costs that are involved in specialized markets. I mean, it's not that HumanWare wants to gouge the blind community. In my heart of hearts, I don't believe that any of these companies want to sit there and screw the blind consumer. I really believe, though, that unfortunately the old status quo dictates that we deal through, you know, government agencies that buy for a limited amount of people that are doing that. And that's why HumanWare is starting to reach out to the blind consumer as a consumer. And that's where I see that you guys, I mean, it's amazing to me the fact that it's not HumanWare that developed the accessibility API. It's not Code Factory that developed the accessibility API, but you guys did it.
Well, in concert with our partners who understood what
the
market needed.
No doubt. I mean, I'm not minimizing their role. I'm simply stating the fact that it doesn't need to always be for us, by us. You know what I'm saying? And that's a huge philosophical difference. That's a huge philosophical swing from where we've been in years gone past, Dave. You've been in the market for a number of years.
It's a swing that only makes sense. So if you've got
tell the rest of the industry that.
Well,
you know.
Sure, but you know, I mean, remember the BlackBerry specialists? They understand their API better than we do. So if they develop the accessibility part of it, then we can take it up and then take the next step. So all you're really seeing happen here is that companies who are good at different things are coming together to take their specialties to develop one product.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and what's happening is, of course, there's the back and forth, and that's really where I think that AT should go, is where we instead of developing these, you know, these kind of blind ghetto, you know, products that only work for blind people. I'll never forget the first time I had my Pocket PC product, which shall remain nameless, that I was carrying it around back in the day. And I showed it to somebody, and I was like, oh, this is my Pocket PC product. I'm like, yeah, you got to have a big pocket for that, don't you? You know, and it was this huge, you know, print keyboard-looking thing. You know, and now, of course, with work that you guys are doing and work that others are doing in the accessibility market and collaboration with AT companies that have the ear of the consumer, that understand the needs of it, are reaching out to mainstream companies and say, you know what, let's help you develop software that we can also turn around and remarket to this community. So instead of building the $1,000 or $3,000 note taker, for example, well, let's give somebody a $400 or $500 or $300 or whatever your cell phone provider gives you as an incentive to sign up with them. You know, cell phone that actually, or smartphone that actually does a lot of these things.
Well,
but, you know, how do you feel about that?
I would differ with a little bit of what you've said. I think there's, I mean, more choice is better.
Sure.
I think we can all agree on that. But I think there are certain parts, the use of a figure for a $3,000 note taker versus a cell phone. One, you're forgetting about the Braille component of this whole thing. And when you're citing a price tag that high, you're working Braille into the equation, and we haven't discussed or looked at Braille in any of the smaller any of your mobile phones, whether you're using your BlackBerry mobile speak talks or whatever, you're going to have costs of the Braille displays that are involved.
No, that's true, but they're all modular at that point. Well, where you can choose to have it or not.
Certainly, but you can also choose in an environment whether you're looking at a note taker, if you want to go with a note taker or a netbook or whatever, if you're just using speech. My argument there is that you're comparing apples and oranges when you compare that a price tag that high and that low against each other. The other thing that I would add there is that there are advantages to both approaches. As of yet, there is no one-piece smartphone Braille display thingy that will let me write over my shoulder like I've been doing for years on a note taker, which I consider to be a huge benefit. And with something like Keysoft on the Braille note, you've got an I think at times it is useful to have an operating system that was developed specifically for the blind. We can do things with Keysoft, such as when you look at KeyView, when you can see the Braille display on a screen that benefit teachers. You can develop things like a completely accessible dictionary or thesaurus or Nimbus tutorial, right, that work that you're not going to see in a mainstream environment. So I think the only thing I'm really getting at here is that choice is good. The ability to make that choice is good, and that's philosophically that's what I like to see here, is that you now have an option of whether you want to go with the note taker type environment or if you want to try something more mainstream.
I want to pose a question to both Dave and Greg, because Apple's notorious for keeping things very silent until the very last minute. Did the announcement of the app, the iPhone, did this surprise you, and how, if in any way, has it altered your marketing and how you will approach?
I like Greg answer on his own as well, but I mean, okay, as someone who, I mean, you look at what Apple's been doing. They made you've got VoiceOver that came for the Mac. Then we added Braille support. Then you started to see iPod Nanos and Shuffles suddenly become accessible. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the iPhone's going to be next, and the iTouch is probably soon to follow. If anyone's surprised, I don't think they should have been. And it's a different market. It's a different product. You've got a touch screen that you're using.
So you're saying that because the BlackBerry is more corporate and government entities, that it's going to be secure, and Apple really hasn't tapped into that market yet. I suspect they're trying, adding things like Exchange to their next Snow Leopard operating system. But so you still see it as Apple is more of a consumer-based. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Well, I think that something that we found a few years ago, either by design or not, was that individuals who work in an enterprise environment, they work for government or not, once they leave, they're consumers. So it's really difficult to draw a line in the sand and say, you are A and you are B. They're individuals in business who their business is, a retail environment in which product A will work better for them, whereas other environments, product B works better. So I guess what I'm saying is that there isn't a necessarily clear distinction between who's where and who's what. But to your point of iPhone, I guess what I'd say is that's a good product. Mm-hmm. I commend Apple for providing VoiceOver access. When I was in school, my first notebook was a Power Mac. There's some great products out there, and you need to provide choice. So BlackBerry does some things good that Apple doesn't. iPhone does some things good that other products don't. And there's choice options out there. Whether or not it changed plans, changing plans implies that you didn't have a plan to begin with, or that your plan didn't account for other competition. So I'd say that our plans 3 years ago didn't account for five competitors, not four. It accounted for competitors and providing options to consumers.
Okay. And how long have you been with RIM?
I came to RIM a little over 5 years ago.
Okay. Because I worked with a gentleman named Ken Rakowski, who 10 years ago interviewed RIM, and they at that point had no interest in it. They didn't see the need in it. They didn't see there was any viable market in making their products talk. When do you know or believe that this philosophy changed, and why? What was the motivation for that?
Certainly. So 10 years ago, you had a two-way pager without a phone. So it was a much different product than what we have today.
I think it was like a toy 10 years ago.
It was
weird-looking pocket.
The concept of taking a simple, at that point, single-purpose product, which was to communicate by text, and do more than what that product category could do, I wouldn't say that there wasn't interest in access, but rather there was limitations in a product category that wasn't created at that point. Motorola had the Talkabout, and we had the BlackBerry, and that was it. There wasn't other competition to create for ourselves there. So, you know, I wouldn't say that there wasn't interest in access, but there was different levels of access at that point.
Well, their statement was at the time that we don't see a need, we don't see a market for that.
I don't know if it's worth looking 10 years back.
Yeah,
that is fair.
I would agree with that, because, I mean, at the 10 years ago, Palm made a very stupid statement about that they had no interest in dealing with the blind community. And I would suggest that if Palm heard this podcast or if we were to ask them today, they might change the story. I mean, we were living in a different world 10 years ago.
So fair enough. Okay. Now, that just stuck in my craw, and a lot of people took that statement at that time, I mean, that RIM doesn't care about accessibility, period.
At some point, you got to let it go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let it go, Michael. It's okay, bro.
No, it's all good.
It's okay.
So my question is...
There is a fitness center here. You can sort of work it out.
Yeah. So are you good? Are you going beyond the government entity? Are you looking at this on a consumer level and what consumers would be interested in it? And how are you marketing that?
So yeah, who do you see, by the way?
Who's
your consumer? Is it 25 to 40? Is it grandma with, you know... I mean, who's your market?
So if we think of who the market is, we need to open up our eyes beyond U.S., beyond North America. There are areas of this world where there is no access, cost-effective access, to landline communication. There are requirements for personal wireless communication all over this world, and for those individuals, there are individuals with disabilities. So there is a requirement to ensure that any area in which you operate, that you can provide services for that area. So in terms of market, there's a global market requirement. You can look to India, to emerging markets, where you have a individual who's low literate, who also has a visual impairment, for whom which this application would be ideal.
Sure.
In addition, you have students who are trying to get through school and to have every advantage they can. You have individuals who are in small business, trying to run a small business. You've got individuals in large business. So anywhere where someone has a visual impairment and a need, then that should be an opportunity for smartphone vendors with screen reader solutions, of which BlackBerry and Orator for BlackBerry smartphones will be another one of.
Okay, so then my question would be, since you said you have a strong interest in universal access, define what that means. Where are you wanting to go with this? This is, I assume, the first step in your... quest for true accessibility. So what are you looking at?
Well, I'd say the first step was creating multimodal communications 8 years ago. So I wouldn't say this is a first step. Universal access would be able to provide information in multiple ways, in multiple formats for multiple users, of which we've been late to the party on providing solutions for our blind customers. But this is maybe step 20 of universal access. So if universal access was providing additional information in multiple modes for multiple individuals redundantly, that would be universal access.
So I've said before, I mean, universal access just makes sense from a business perspective. So what you're saying is that by providing universal access, of course, you're going to drive down costs by being able to sell more units. Do you ever see, at least that's what I assume you're saying, one of the things you're saying, and what I'm wondering is, you know, like Apple, for example, where they took and they actually embedded the accessibility into the product itself, where you could walk in and pay the same price as a sighted counterpart. Do you ever see that, or is that a goal here in the BlackBerry genre of accessibility? Is that something that, you know, maybe perhaps at the beginning we're going to see the technology bolted on, but at some point BlackBerry would step up perhaps and create or embrace a total solution, perhaps by relicensing and incorporating the technology into all BlackBerries that are going forward?
So I'll answer to the degree that I can, then I'll defer to Dave here. So we have been supporting blind customers through a product called BlackBerry Connect, which is a software application that runs on Windows Mobile and Symbian-based phones.
I've used it.
For the last 3 years, you know, to a very little degree. You know, I might get 10 support calls a week, and we'd have very good interactions, but in a smaller capacity. That does not mean we have expertise in supporting blind customers. So in terms of strategy going forward, RIM and HumanWare will find the best way to work together to meet the needs of users. But embedding something in almost... implying that RIM would be able to do well on our own and not really rely on the expertise of HumanWare, We'd want to ensure that HumanWare is the face to which BlackBerry is the supporting mechanism, as opposed to an expectation that HumanWare isn't really the face and isn't really leading the ability to communicate and support customers. So I defer to Dave on how he views going forward.
I think going forward, we want to have prices as low as we can. At the same time, part of what sets us apart in the industry is we have excellent technical support. We've got highly trained, highly skilled tech support staff. I think when you're having issues with trying to get Orator for BlackBerry to perform task A, the expectation is that you can call HumanWare and get answers. I'm not sure, and I don't mean to knock Apple in any respect, but I'm not sure if I can pick up a phone and call Apple and say, "Oh, with my iPhone, how do I do this?"
Sure.
And by the way, I can't see, so I'm using it, so that it talks. So can you help me now? I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, that is a good point, because Apple thus far has presented a very aggressive and willing effort to take suggestions from users, accessibility@apple.com. So does HumanWare and RIM have the same mechanisms in place to take input from users? Please give that contact information as we...
You can send any information for any suggestions on any product HumanWare has. We actively seek out suggestions, and we do look at them. You can send anything to either to info@humanware.com, and if you're having any type of a technical support issue, if it's outside of technical support hours and you want to make sure that you address it right now while you're thinking about it, while you're seeing it, you can always send us an email to support@humanware.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
I'll tell you,
So I'll give you the contact, and then I'll give you an anecdotal example to show how we communicate and seek information from users. So it's accessibility@rim.com, RIM.com. And whenever there's an individual that calls one of our carriers and then is sent to our support center, it's transferred through to our department. And whenever we're looking at features, there are things that we want to be able to do. All of a sudden, there's a new chipset that has greater degree of support that we didn't have before, and I'm looking to provide reverse contrast for the first time on mobile phone without requiring AT. How do I do that? So I went to our database of the individuals I spoke with in the last 3 years who had questions about, I have macular edema and I want to have some solution, or I want light on dark, dark on light. And I go back to those individuals for whom which I said there isn't a solution today, and get their feedback about more specifically what do they want, what do they expect, what do they use today, and if it wasn't a mobile phone, what would it need to be, deploy, go back to them, engage them in participation of usability studies, and then deploy and implement on a commercial product. And that was the first deployed on the BlackBerry Bold a year and a half on reverse contrast, so a year and a half before Apple did it and anybody else did it. So in terms of soliciting feedback, we have direct access to customers, we work with disability advocacy organizations, and we work with our AT partners to make sure that we don't understand everything, so help us understand what we need to be doing and implementing.
That's important, because I think that there's multiple parts to this. I mean, Apple is to be applauded, sure. As a consumer, I say, yeah, great Apple. I mean, and as a technologist, wow, that's cool, we got accessibility. But you still walk into the Apple store and you talk to the quote-unquote genius behind the genius bar, and he's like, yeah, man, it's really cool, it talks. And that's it.
So
he doesn't know. So there's a multiple level of education, dude, that needs to take place here. And my question is, who's going to get it right? Because, I mean, honestly, Microsoft hasn't gotten it right about educating the carriers, who are the first line of communication to the consumer about accessibility. Apple certainly hasn't done it yet with AT&T. You call AT&T and try and talk about accessibility, and they're like, huh?
This goes beyond that. The retail is, 16-year-olds with turnaround of 6 months.
Oh no!
Trying to understand tons of products,
right? No, but even when you call the 800 numbers, man,
which is that same person?
Yeah, where you've got, well, kind of. I mean, hopefully, you're getting more than a 16-year-old guy answering the phone. I mean, how can we as a community? And I'm not putting the whole onus on the carrier or on the manufacturer. I think that so many blind people are used to having stuff spoon-fed to them. And Dave,
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
There is
something called documentation that's a really good idea.
Thank you. RTFM.
RTFM.
And we're very fond of using the RTFM. And we're not going to say what that means here, folks, but you can look it up. And, the fact is that, you know, blind people need to take responsibility for looking. Don't take some leader in the adaptive technologies community's word for it. Oh, this sucks. Oh, this is great. Get out there. Get your hands on it. Go touch it. Go use it. Most of these organizations, most of these carriers have a 30-day money back, you know, buyer's remorse policy. Get out there and use it. But at the same time, how can we help the manufacturers and the carriers? What kind of feedback, what kind of information do we, I mean, is there something that we can provide? And this is not a, this is a question just out there. I don't expect an answer. Sure. But it's just a matter of what can we do? What can we do to help you guys understand our needs for information? What do I need to know when I'm looking for this? And that way everybody can kind of get on the same page and say, well, if you're a blind consumer, this is the 10 things you need to know about our technology, or the 15 things. I mean,
and I think we're in the process of figuring that out.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the...
Oh yeah, we're not going to answer
this,
it here.
No, no, but I mean, this is what we're figuring out with the different approaches in the marketplace, is to see who gets it right. Obviously, we think we're going to, you know, and obviously everyone else does as well. And who knows, we might all be right.
Yeah, I've used the cell phone with all the keyboards on it, and I've used the touch screen. And I'll be honest, I mean, I look at the BlackBerry, and I get excited because it's a combination of both. And I haven't lived with a BlackBerry long enough. I mean, I've laid my hands on yours for 3-4 minutes here and 3 or 4 minutes there. But I can honestly see where a tactile keyboard makes sense to me when I want to text. But the touch and the swipe and the whole tap and swipe type thing really makes sense to me to get around menus and stuff. So
you said it's not a big deal because, of course, we came into this with a plan. What is your plan for the next 1, 3, 5 years? And that's my last question to each of you.
Sure. And I wouldn't have said it wasn't a big deal. Sorry to correct that. So the plan is, first step is to work with our partner to get this product out. Support all new BlackBerry smartphones with QWERTY keypads going forward on all carrier networks that they're available. So you're not limited to one device, nor are you limited to one carrier. And then from there, take a look to see what else can we do. What else makes the most sense? Are there other third-party applications out there? Because we're one of the last platforms to get access support today, there are other platforms that already have solutions like Mobile Geo, like access to Braille displays. And one of the great things of working with HumanWare is they have all those products. So, you know, without giving a whole lot away, the first step would be to catch up.
Oh, sure. No, I think the partnership's a great combination, Dave.
I would leave it at that. We want, you know, obviously we want to have as many people as possible see the BlackBerry, get to experience some of the benefits that it has to offer. Mike's got a
fire alarm going off in his head. iPhone ringtone.
But you know, we want to have as many people see the advantages that BlackBerry has to offer. We want to take feedback on how we can make the Orator, you know, as good of a product as we can have it be. We want to, you know, to have the BlackBerry through Orator as accessible to as many people as possible.
Well, we definitely look forward to having one of these devices to play with. Maybe Michael can catch up with you before the end of the conference and get one of you guys to do a short demo for us, if possible. If not, we'll have to wait to get in a demo unit before the product is released, or hopefully soon as the product is released, whenever it's convenient for you guys. But we certainly would like to kick the tires and, you know, pontificate on what we believe.
Someone made a very good point. Said iPhone's great, but you should be challenging them to give accessibility a QWERTY keyboard as you've done here on the BlackBerry. So certainly we want to talk about it and make sure that folks know all of the feature sets available so that they can do a true, fair, and A-B comparison between that and the iPhone as they decide which device is best for them in the future.
I speak for myself. I am a technology slut, and I love all this stuff. I mean, all this stuff just gets me going, and I applaud any kind of accessibility initiative from any company. So
yeah, we're very excited about it. We're all about equaling the playing field.
We love it, and
keeping same price for all folks, so that blind persons pay no more than their sighted counterparts to use the same technology. That's what we're all about at Cerotech, and I commend each of you, Dave and Greg, and your companies, RIM and HumanWare, for making efforts to jump into this space.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.